welcome into the Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. It's a new year. I'm trying something new. Murphy's got whitish hair. So I'm going to do this patch, Murph, and try to cultivate me some white hair. Like you
need to cultivate some hair, too.
No, I had a little skin cancer surgery and got to get over it. And Murph, football season on us once again.
Well, it is kind of snuck up on me a little bit. So many other irons in the fire. When you retire, you're supposed to have more time.
Right.
Seems like I've got less time because I have to spend too much of it on the tractor.
I was going to say, you're mowing so much, right?
All the time.
Murph, ninth season of the Box Score, it just seems like for us, those years get faster and faster.
Everything does.
For sure. Murph, let's look at the teams that we're covering. Of course, same five teams that we've done in the past. We'll have an interview with Tommy Hinch a little bit. I know that Murphy, you know, they went 7-3. They got second in the district, or the region, I'm sorry, to Gordonsville. But they were disappointed after losing at home to Grundy in that first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you never know how much that affects a 17, 18-year-old kid, you know, kind of thing. But it's a good learning tool, I guess. And Tommy and his staff are doing a good job of using just enough of that to make the kids that are out there playing know that they can't take anything for granted.
Of course, they've got that big game that a lot of people feel like will be for the region championship possibly, and that's coming at Gordonsville, and that'll be on DTC3. And then the next week they'll play at home against Clay County, and then of course they've got Smith County, who looks to be down this year. But you talk about Zeke Walkup, a Maryland commit, Tyler Hauser, Kale Sellers, Jaden Shannon. They also got an outstanding kicker do the Lions.
Yeah, pretty good kids. A couple of them sit behind me in church every day.
Right.
So that always adds to it as far as I'm concerned. It should be a fun year. They, the people of Cannon County, even though it's known as a basketball county, they support the football team very well, too.
Or if I want to drop this in here, and probably should have a little bit earlier, but the transfer room. You and I have discussed that at length, driving down the road for several times. I don't like it. I've obviously stated that in times past. I feel like it's bad for high school athletics, just like NIL was bad for college, because people are going to jump to where the money is.
Right.
And now a coach that may have had a kid all through junior high, all through junior pro, then he gets in high school, another bigger school or another school wants him, they can go and no penalty.
Yeah, but the bad part about this thing, I'm not real sure how much the athletes and their parents have been known about the fine print. Because, say, for example, your child ends up going to Trousdale County mm-hmm. or Gordonsville from Smith County High School. What if he gets over there, the coach that he loved, they let go, or he finds a better job, he can't go somewhere else.
Right.
He's locked up in there for at least right. one more year of eligibility. And I'm not real sure that that's good for the programs.
Right. And Murph, I know it has its positives, it has its negatives, but it seems to me the college game is going too much for the pros with all this NIL money and throwing it around and basically buying a team, kind of like Texas Tech did a year ago. And different sports have spent a lot of money to. But in today's world, you can't talk college athletics without that NIL money entering into the conversation.
And the transfer rule now.
Right.
So it's we'll just have to sit back and see what happens. But it's going to be an interesting year to watch for sure, just to see. The other thing that bothers me a whole lot, and it's been the case for the last 3 or 4 years, there's such a wide margin between the haves and the have-nots.
Right.
And that gap is just going to get wider and wider
right.
With all this transfer stuff.
And the super conferences, for sure.
Yep.
Let's talk about the Gordonsville Tigers. Steven Jackson, in his fifth season, had an outstanding year a year ago. Took Marion County, you know, it was 42-14, but then I think late in the third when Gordonsville got the bad call and wound up losing in Jasper. But, you know, Coach Jackson did lose his quarterback and some key people off that team. But they've got some great kids coming back. That running back, Turner Booker. You got Kennedy, who's a good wide receiver. Cam Stott, electric athlete. Wyatt Langford, hard-nosed kid. Brooke Stafford. You've got some awfully talented kids back for the Big Blue.
They're going to be big up front, too, in the line, offensive and defensive. And while I've got a chance right here, if you ever not sure about whether or not you want to go watch a Gordonsville game at home, you need to go see their Jumbotron. It is incredible. I haven't seen one quite like that in a public school in quite some time. And Gordonsville fans are special. And they show it with with that thing in the end zone down there.
Let's go ahead and go on the other side of the river now. Matt Dyer's team struggled a year ago, 4-7. I know they were 2-9 maybe the year before that. Matt, for his sixth season, we, and when I say we, Smith County just not used to having a below 500 year. The Bledsoe County game in Pikeville was a six-hour affair. They've got Lucas Cornwell back, Dylan Raines back, Ben Howell, and the freshman quarterback, Colton Jenkins. But Murphy, not only did were they hit hard by graduation, they had a lot of kids that are no longer playing that was on the team a year ago that should have been very experienced.
The Cornwell kid really showed out the other night at Gordonsville in that jamboree over there. His number and his name was called so many times over the PA system. He's going to be one that Matt Dyer and his coaching staff are going to rely on a great deal for his effort.
Let's talk about the Watertown Purple Tigers. Of course, the most senior coach in our area, Gavin Webster, 22nd season. I know last year, Murph, they wound up getting into the playoffs but lost in the first round. And, you know, they've got that big game in that second week when they play against Gordonsville. Of course, Gavin from Gordonsville. Then they've gone to DeKalb, and then they've got Cascade. You know, they've got Garrett Davis back, Chase Lamberson back, Carmelo Davis back. But Watertown, Murph, always puts a quality team on the gridiron.
They looked really good on defense against a pretty good Donaldson Christian Academy team in the Jamboree over at Gordonsville the other night, last Friday night. And but they've got some quickness in the backfield, too, as far as the offense is concerned. And I know they're anxious to maybe return to what we're accustomed to when you see Purple Tigers take the field.
Of course, they're going to travel a lot, as we'll see in a minute when we break this down. The places they've got to go. Looking at the classifications, you got in 3A, 4-3A, Cascade, Community, Forest, Giles County, Sequatchie County, and Watertown. Murph, better get you frequent flyer miles out.
That's right. They're gonna, and those schools are schools that they're not used to playing on a regular basis. Right. They're having to go a little bit farther now that they're up in 3A, it's gonna be a different Friday night for Watertown for sure.
Let's go ahead and look at region. All right, DeKalb County by the numbers, Michael Shaw, we'll have him on a little bit later. First-year head coach. They finished fifth a year ago. They've got Warren County, Watertown, and White County on DTC TV. Tucker Webb, Jesse Fouch, Reed Midget, Levi Cripps, Eli Jones, some players to look for from them.
I know he's excited about having those kids back. Good senior leadership, I think, will be a key part of DeKalb County football this year, and it should be fun to watch for sure.
Region 404A, a very tough one. DeKalb, Livingston, Macon, Stone Memorial, Upperman, and White County. Murph, some of the toughest teams in the state there.
Yeah, but one of the upsides of that is the fact that the coaches only had to get five games for the
right
schedule, because it's a pretty tough six-team group right there, and there's not a lot of gimmies in that entire list.
We'll talk with head coach Michael Shaw of DeKalb County when we return to the box score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Pay- Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner owned and operated full-service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Hello, I'm Bruce Daniel. I've lived in Cannon County all my life. For the last 59 years, I've only made it across the highway.
I married my wife, Melody, in 1981. We hauled our first load of freight in 1983 with one truck and a couple old borrowed trailers. We found a way to make it. Our employees are the backbone of our company. Some of our team members have been with us for more than 30 years.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3 window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Protect your home with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
We're with DeKalb County head coach, Coach Shaw. And Coach, I know you're a head coach, and the Tigers are chomping at the bits, waiting on Friday night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have been, practicing really hard, and we've had all our preseason scrimmages and got them out of the way, and we're ready to get the season started.
Michael, it wasn't like they brought somebody new in. I think, were you not one of the coordinators last year for DeKalb County and had been within the program for a while, right?
Yes, sir. This is actually my 17th year coaching football, and this will be my 15th year with DeKalb County High School.
So you and the kids knew each other anyway. You know them in the classroom, you know them in the hallways. So that hasn't been a difficult assignment for you to just, instead of your room being here, it's over here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have a good relationship with all the guys already. So just kind of sliding in there, and there's been a little bit of an adjustment just trying to get ready for or get prepared for my style of coaching as a head coach and what I demand versus, you know, what they may have been used to. But overall, it's been really good so far.
Coach, when you look at your region, no doubt one of the tougher 4A regions in the state with the quality of people that you play. Of course, you got Macon County, a former state champion there. You've got White County, who's done well with Coach Foster, Stone. You've got some awfully tough road just to make the playoffs out of your region.
Yes, sir. I mean, I would put Region 4-4A up there with anybody in the state, to be honest with you, or at any classification. Just the level of talent and the level of coaching that each school has as their head coaches, it's a very tough task every single week.
Coach, one of the things that I always look at when there is a coaching change at the top level, I'm always curious about the kids and how they're going to respond to all that number-wise. Have you got about the same number of kids out that you had when Steve was in there the last couple of years, or has that changed one way or the other?
We started out with quite a bit more just in January. I think we started out with around 70 kids, and for one reason or another, we've whittled that down. We've got around 60 on the team now, And that's pretty average, you know. We usually have anywhere between 50 and 60 year in and year out. So that hasn't changed a lot. I think the number of people that we're going to rely on has kind of changed, as far as just we have a lot of younger guys that are pushing for playing time. So that's been a pleasant surprise.
Well, the upside to all of that is you can only put 11 of them on the field at one time, right?
That's right. Competition usually breeds a lot of success. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Coach, when you look at your region, I think the one thing that stands out to me about Region 4-4A is just the physical play, the toughness that you have to bring in, or did you have to bring every Friday night when you face one of those opponents?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at most of the teams that we play, their offensive line, they're all averaging 6'3" plus and pushing close to 300 pounds. We've got, you know, very talented running backs as far as athletic-wise and just power-wise. I know a lot of teams rely on a power run game. And just the different schemes that you're going to see throughout the region week to week, it makes it a very difficult job to prepare week in and week out.
Coach, what about your staff? Have you brought in some other new people that you think will help the Tiger effort this year?
Yes, sir. We had a couple guys stayed with me. Eli Cross coaches offensive line and defensive line. And Coach Wheeler has been coaching receivers, and he's still doing that, but he kind of shifted into offensive coordinator role. Brought in a gentleman named Greg Davis out of Alabama. He's moved up here and he's coaching quarterbacks with me. And then I was able to bring on a couple other guys, Cole Parsley, who's been on staff before here, and he's involved in our junior pro program. Lucas Bain, a former player here at DeKalb County, he's coming on to help with running backs. And then a guy named Sam Story that's got a job at the middle school, and he's going to help out with our special teams.
Coach, when you look, DeKalb has always been known for an outstanding quarterback. You go back through the last probably 20, 25 years, you can just rattle off a bunch of very quality quarterbacks that not only throw the football well, but run the football as well. And I'm sure that you feel that you have both of those covered this fall with your current quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesse Fouch, you know, he's sliding back into that quarterback position after giving it a shot last year, and just the way he handled that whole situation, moving over to receiver and being very successful there. And then you can just tell this offseason he's been very hungry to redeem himself from the first couple weeks of last year. And I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring to the table. He's very skilled running the football, and he's got a lot of toughness and grit. And he's just done a great job of commanding his presence at practice and demanding that all the guys out there, you know, are doing what they're supposed to do. And I'm excited to see what he's going to bring to the table this year.
Coach, we've talked about your staff a little bit, but in regards to team leadership, what does your senior class look like this year?
Senior class is kind of small compared to what some people have. We only have 7 seniors this year on our staff or on our team. You know, but out of those 7, 3 of them are four of them are 4-year seniors, and 3 of them have been playing and starting since they were sophomores. So, you know, we've got a lot of leadership. Guys like Tucker Webb, I mean, he has just been he's the quarterback of the defense, and he's actually going to play a lot more offense this year. And he's been very accepting to any role that we've asked of him. Hunter Ballou is another guy. He's a team captain, as well as Tucker Webb. But Hunter Ballou, he's just been an anchor on the offensive line for the past 3 years. And he is doing a great job.
Coach, are there any surprises that going into this first game on Friday night from maybe people that you weren't counting on to start fall camp, all of a sudden is digging or you know, warranting more playing time.
Absolutely. We have, like I said, we have a lot of younger guys that are pushing for playing time. And we have one young man, Colin Donnell. He's kind of bounced around. He played quarterback as a freshman last year and saw a little bit of playing time here and there. And then we moved him to receiver, and out of necessity, we had to move him into running back, and he started our jamboree Friday. And, man, he was able to see the holes and just he was getting yards after contact, and I really didn't know that he had all that in him. So that was a big surprise seeing what he was able to do. Another young man, Aiden Summers, he'll be starting at right tackle and defensive end. This offseason, I've seen a complete shift in his personality and mentality, and he is, I've told everybody, he's really popped off the tape in our scrimmages in the preseason, and I'm looking for an outstanding year out of him on both sides of the ball, offense and defense.
Coach, you've seen plenty of Warren County the last several years being on the DeKalb County staff. What concerns you most about this year's Warren County football team?
I think this year what concerns me most is just there's a little bit of unknown. You know, they're bringing in a new quarterback, and I think they lost a few skill guys, and they weren't able to have as many scrimmages and jamborees as we were. So I've only been able to see them on one game. And just the one thing that kind of worries me is some of their formations, and they're trying to spread everybody out, you know, and get you misaligned. So just as long as we stay disciplined and get lined up in the right place and run and tackle, we should be fine. I know that sounds pretty simple, but you know, good coaches like Coach Ballou, they make it tough on you.
Well, Coach Michael Shaw from DeKalb County, we appreciate you visiting with us, and best of luck on Friday night.
All right, thank you, guys.
Good luck, Michael.
Okay, and we'll have Coach Hinch from Kennedy County when we return to the Box Score, presented to you by Pavement Restorations.
Hello, I'm Bruce Daniel. I've lived in Cannon County all my life. For the last 59 years, I've only made it across the highway.
I married my wife, Melody, in 1981. We hauled our first load of freight in 1983 with one truck and a couple old borrowed trailers. We found a way to make it. Our employees are the backbone of our company. Some of our team members have been with us for more than 30 years.
Did you know that if you have DTC Fiber, you get exclusive access to our Tri-Lite mobile service? Get your first line for free for 1 year. Switching is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Come make the Tri-Lite switch today at DTC.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner-owned and operated full-service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
And welcome back in here to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations. We've been joined by Tommy Hinch, the head coach for Kennedy County. And Coach, you've got a year under your belt now. I know that year of experience, you'll glean a lot this fall on.
Yeah, got the first year behind me already. You know, was an interim tag with that, but kind of knew what team we had and what could happen there if they wanted to keep me around. So that group was a good group that we had last year. But, you know, we've got a new group coming up. We're pretty young, and I'm excited with this first group. I'm really excited about the youth that we have with this one. But yeah, definitely that first year of experience definitely can help anybody in the situation I was in.
Coach, we talked this morning, and one of the things that you emphasized was your skill position players. And in the offensive backfield and also in the secondary, you're really proud of what you've got and what those kids can do. Tell us a little bit about those guys.
Well, the skill is somewhere where we'll hang our hat on. We definitely have a good understanding of who we have right there. We have a lot of guys that we can depend on. We like the experience also that comes back with that, skill-wise. In the backfield, he wasn't a starter, but he could have been a starter on any, you know, a lot of people's teams. It's just our backfield was pretty loaded last year, but this year he gets it kind of not by himself either, because we had a kid in Austin Martin, but step up too. But Jaden Shannon, we really like him at running back. You know, he's a really tough kid to bring down, just like Austin and Shannon look. I mean, they look very similar. They're big backs, fast backs. But the one thing I like about my group with the skill is we did this in the weight room during a meeting a few weeks ago. I said, hey, stand up if you played more than 7 games and you're at a varsity level. And there was only about 7 to 8 kids stand up in that locker room, and it was all the skill kids. And that was one thing. My point being was, it's like, hey, listen, what you're going through, you're hitting a little bit of a wall. Of course, this was a few weeks ago with the heat and stuff. It's like, these guys handle it well. You guys have to step it up and lean on these skill guys. So I really do like the skill guys that we have. They're great leaders. They understand the fire that they're about to go in with the varsity schedule.
Coach, I know everybody starts the postseason 0-0. And unfortunately for the Lions, you didn't play very well in that first round of the playoffs and got upset. I know that's kind of been a burning desire for your team. You know, from that point to this point, just to try to get that bad taste out of your mouth.
Well, yeah, once again, we go day by day. Once again, that was last year's thing, but you have to learn from the mistakes that you had. The one thing that we kind of, I guess, is our war cry this year. We break it down at every weight room session, break down at the end of practice. It started when we got back, you know, after December. It's consistency. The reason we lost that game is we weren't consistent in everything we did. You know, there was things that we did very well throughout the year, but there was things that we didn't do consistent, and that bit us in the playoff game. So that was one thing that me and my staff evaluated. It was like, hey, what is the thing that gets us over the hump? What is the thing that, you know, that when we do some self-reflection that we got to be better at? And it's consistency in everything that we do. If it's consistency getting down to the field house at a certain time after school, that's what you do. I mean, and I can give the coach and talk all day long about those little things that we have to do, but it's really, we have to live that. We have to let our actions speak so loud that nobody can hear us talk about consistency. They just see it. And that's kind of one thing that we've kind of hung our hat on. We're getting better with that every day. There's times that we lapse on it because we're young men. These guys are young people. They'll make mistakes, but then we seem to always be able to take step forwards by the end of the week and then take steps back. So the consistency is one thing that we had to be better on with everything that we did, because the little things is what cost us the playoff game. Yeah, it was turnovers on the offensive side, but there was other things, especially on defense early on, that got us in a bind. So, you know, everything has to be complementary football, and that starts with being consistent in everything we do, from special teams all the way through offense and defense.
Coach, I want to go back to the offensive backfield. You had an awfully good quarterback last year, the Garrett kid, and he's playing at the next level now up in the state of Kentucky. But his younger brother, who will be a junior, I think, is that right, this year? He's shown an awful lot of potential. He's already as tall as his big brother, and he's got a pretty good arm, too, if you decide to put it in the air, I think.
Yeah, he'll be a sophomore this coming year. He's, you know, he's the next Garrett up. He's got an arm. I'm pleased with his arm. We had to develop that arm. That arm was not where we wanted it, you know, in, I'd say, March. He knew that. He doesn't complain, don't whine. The one thing I like about him is he's just like his brother. He understands our offense. that's very helpful for us as play callers, as coaches. He understands what we want. And I don't know, it's just something about them Garretts. They just don't get too high. They don't get too low. They're always right in the middle. Nothing really kind of gets a rise out of him. Nothing really, I mean, he's just right there. He's that quarterback mentality that you want. We also have a couple other kids that we can play back there at quarterback as well. But as far as just your typical fundamentally sound quarterback, that's, you know, Corbin is definitely going to be one that, and he's under the radar. And a lot of people don't know about him, but I do feel like he's got a year that he's going to get under his belt. He's going to kind of get under the fire a little bit, and he's going to develop. And I think we're going to be pretty impressed with him by the time we get through with this year.
Having him for three more years is quite a thing to have on your offense for sure.
Oh yeah, it's a weapon that we will definitely use for the years to come here.
Coach, I know the walk-up kid, you know, a very physical young man. He's, I guess, the last in a long line of walk-ups that have played different sports at Cannon County High School, and I know you're going to lean on him quite a bit this year.
Yeah, you know, defensively, you know, he's one of the best DNs in the state of Tennessee. I'll stand on the soapbox and say that. I think he's one of the top 50 DNs in the nation, to be honest with you. When I look at all the, you know, we've got to watch him film early on when we had all this recruiting going on, and he's just outstanding. You know, we love to coach him. He's a goofball at times. We got to lock in his maturity from time to time, but when he locks it in, and he does it most of the time, he locks it in pretty good. But he's just a talent that you know, he's got size, he's got speed, he's got strength, he knows how to play with his hands, and then the list goes on, and that's why he's a Maryland commit. That's why he had a bunch of offers, and, you know, he's an NIL kid too as well, so this is not like they're just doing an offer just to offer. This is an offer because they really want him. They're going to, you know, they're putting things on the table for him. So this kid, you know, he's a really good kid. And he's highly sought after. But one of the things I'm impressed with him the most is his off. Like, I pulled him to the side and I said, listen, for us to go where we need to go, when we run the ball, we need whatever side you're on. If you're on the right side, when the play's over with, everybody's on the left side because you've caved down the whole side. Like that's what we have to have. And so, and he kind of took that to heart. And there was times he didn't, you know, he wants to be a DN. I don't blame him. I'd want to be a DN too. That's where he's going to go make his, you know, make his bucks, and college is right there. So the thing is he needs to be a better blocker. And there was times that he wasn't buying in it, at, you know, in certain practices. And then I think it just clicked with him. And he had one of the best blocking scrimmages I've seen him have this past Friday. It was just excellent with what he was doing. So I'm really pleased with his development on the defensive side, but we use him in special teams from time to time too, and we use him on the offensive side obviously as well. But he's definitely one that you keep eye on the offensive side. I told him, I said, you keep blocking like that and the way you catch the ball, they might get you a tight end over there. He was like, no, we ain't doing that. So
we're almost out of time, but tell me very quickly about your kicker, because I have seen him put it in net atmosphere that like I've never seen before. Tell us about him just a little bit.
Yeah, so we had a kicker that came from the cab last year, but his mom had to move back to the cab for a job, so we lost him. And it was unique because we had this kid, Caden Lindstedt, that came in. He came from Middle Tennessee Christian school, and he just could bomb it. He just has a really good foot. He does want to go kick in college, so he dedicates his time to kicking and doing some things. But we also use him at corner, and we use him at doing some other things as well. But he's a kid that can kick off and kick it to the back of the end zone. He can sky kick it. He can squib. He can do all the kicks that you need to do on kickoff. He can kick field goals. We also use him as punter. So he's definitely a kid that's a weapon on special teams that's going to win you the field position when you need him to.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you visiting with us. Best of luck to the Cannon County Lions.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy.
We've been visiting with Tommy Hinch, the Cannon County head coach. And when we return, we're going to let Murphy put his guru hat on and tell us about some picks. As we remind you, you're watching The Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner-owned and operated full-service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, we believe in the power of community. That's why we're proud to support high school football. Just like a great team, we know that it takes hard work and dedication to deliver results. High school football brings us together, teaching our young people teamwork, perseverance, and the value of community. From the field to the stands, football unites us all. At Huff and Puff Trucking, we're honored to be a part of this tradition. Huff and Puff Trucking, driving the spirit of community 1 mile at a time.
Pavement restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
Welcome into the final segment of The Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. And Murph, you get to put your little white hat on here and do some picks for us. I know a lot of our viewers look forward to this part.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll keep score this time. Who knows?
All right. Our first game we're going to talk about is Warren County at DeKalb. You know, it's a border rivalry. Just right now, is it Highway 56?
I think that's right.
From McMinnville to Smithville, and should be a good one on to open off our football game of the week.
I think so. They've been playing for probably at least 15 or more years in a row, from what I understand, and both with somewhat new coaches. The coach at DeKalb County, a new coach, but nonetheless, he's been part of that program for about 15 years. The second year for Warren County's new head coach, wasn't he at maybe Cumberland County, I think?
I don't remember where. So.
Anyway, that's one of those games that's it's a border war, and it's really hard to go with one there, but I'm going to have to go with Warren County just because their coach has got one more year as a head coach.
East Tennessee.
Oh, we're going to jump around like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's go to Science Hill at Elizabethton.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good game. Science Hill won that one last year by a touchdown, and I think Science Hill probably wins again. It's a 6A school, and Elizabethton 4A, so a little bit more depth on that Science Hill team in Johnson City.
The Battle of West Tennessee, East Tennessee. You can feel it all the way in West Tennessee.
Well, you can.
Alcoa and Maribel.
Two incredible programs. Alcoa, also a 7-point winner last year against those two, but that was on their turf, if you will. Even though they're playing at Maribel, I think athletically, Alcoa is always going to be the favorite on my book just because of the athletic ability they have. So I'm going with Alcoa's Tornadoes in that one.
Oneida at Rockwood.
I've gone all the way to Rockwood to watch them play Oneida a couple of years ago. Oneida won it by 3 points last year. And I think there's probably no reason to not go with Oneida, but I'm going with Rockwood because that's where the game's being played.
Well, we're going to the West Tennessee Pigs, and there's only one bad part about this. Your grandson now, who was at Adamsville, has gone on to the collegiate level, so we won't get to pick the Redbirds.
Well, not this week we won't. Germantown and Houston, that's kind of like Carthage and Gordonsville. They're just a stone's throw apart from each other. A big rivalry game there, and I'm going to have to go with Germantown in that one.
And then you've got Jackson Central Mary at Jackson Northside.
Northside is a school that I think has benefited with the transfer rule as much as any school anywhere in the state. They picked up kids from Southside, from Liberty, from Gibson County, And I just think you got to go with Northside. They were a pretty good program anyway, and they picked up four or five starters from other teams. So I'm going with Jackson Northside in that one.
Westview at Mace. Westview struggling at quarterback with the Simpson kid. I'm sure you know how that goes. So anyway, Murph, tremendous talent to be so young.
It'll be interesting. Mace, a team that has been very good the last couple of years out of Memphis, but Westview just still with too much skill position kids, and I've got to go with the Chargers in that one.
Murph, when you look at Westview, I know that, of course, Ty's dad is the coach at UT Martin, and
right.
Of course, his younger brother, the starter there at When you look at just the system that they have playing their home games there at UT Martin,
right.
I mean, does the lights get any brighter in West Tennessee than them?
Can't do it. And last year, UT Martin had a pretty good team last year,
right.
In the OVC or whatever conference they're in. I can't keep up because they've all scattered,
right.
All over the place. But yeah, I don't know. The quarterback now, the younger Simpson kid,
right.
He had a full offer from Kentucky when he was in the eighth grade.
Right.
And he's only a sophomore now, so it'll be interesting to see. Westview is still going to be the team to beat in Northwest Tennessee, regardless of classification for the next two or three years.
Let's go ahead and look at some of our local teams getting together. We're going to start, Murphy, with Warren DeKalb. We touched on that a little bit earlier, but I think that Warren, at least looking at their scores last year, improved week by week.
I think so. They'll have a new kid at quarterback. Their quarterback graduated, but I think it's a numbers thing more than anything. Warren County's a 6A school. DeKalb's a 4A. It's not that DeKalb can't win against Warren, because they've won their share of games in the past years, but I still think you can do away with just about anything when there's a rivalry that strong between two teams, and I think Warren County, just because of numbers, probably comes away with a win in a close game.
Cannon County's Lions traveling up to Putnam County on the hill to Monterey.
Yeah, I like what Tommy had to say about that game and the way that he has dissected Monterey to feel pretty good about a win, even if it is on the road. And it's going to be a bit of a trip, about an hour and a half all the way up to Monterey from Cannon County. But I still think this could be a good year for Cannon County, and I think they'll start it off with a win on the road.
Big win, or big place to a big win for whoever gets this one, Coalfield at Gordonsville.
Oh, I agree. And I think the people from Coalfield, as well as the players, are not real happy about how the game happened last year. I think they wanted to continue playing or something. Didn't the weather have something
weather
to do with it?
Weather stopped in the third quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they've played in the past. And Gordonsville's just got so much depth, I think. And the fact that they're playing at Turney Ford Field just gives them an extra touchdown or two right there, doesn't it?
That's right. Watertown traveling to Carthage, a very close game a year ago.
I think so, and I think it will be again this year. I would really like to see Smith County win that game for a lot of reasons, but I just think that Watertown had so many kids coming back onto this year's team from last year, and Smith County's lost some quality players from neighboring schools due to the transfer rules, so I think Watertown probably wins a thriller, but nonetheless a Purple Tiger win.
Well, we want to thank Justin Malden, always doing a great job behind the scenes for us. We want to thank all our fine sponsors. Of course, your title sponsor is Pavement Restorations, as you can see. We want to thank Huff and Puff Trucking, Carthage Safeway, Sonic of Carthage, and Community Wellness Clinic. I'll put a wrap on the first week. For Murphy Fair, I'm Terry Collins. Good night from the box score.